Hiya.
Hi, mate.
Where are you? You sound like you're in the middle of nowhere.
No, at my mum's.
Oh, fair enough. How are you, anyway?
Well, how do you think I am?
Well, I don't know. I'm same as usual.
Oh, pretty shit, really.
I obviously saw your email, though, on Friday, etc., so...
Well, I'm trying to do... I'm trying to resolve it, trying to avoid a fight. I'm doing the best I can do, mate, and I don't know what else to do.
Fair enough. Well, I guess we'll see.
Well, I mean... did it not come across like that? Well, I think it did, because I spoke to Brad afterwards and said... Because Brad's obviously spoken to Mel. He's obviously spoken to me. I don't have any concern going to the authorities, really. If I'm honest with you, I think the accounts and audit and everything is going to be there for them. And if an independent, and I've obviously, I'm like, mate, I'm like you. I know how all this shit works. So I fucking, protect my back and, and at the end of the day, they can look at it if they want. But it's just all bullshit, mate. Like all this fighting. And actually, you know what? I think a lot of it is just simply down to one thing. Two things, maybe.
Go on.
I have taken too long, to do things. Yeah. And therefore people think I'm being dodgy. That I am not being dodgy. I have taken too long. The reason I've taken too long is twofold. One, it's my personality that I overkill and try and perfect everything. Part one. And two, and I know, and I make this as no fucking excuse and I ask for no leniency or no understanding because I'm sick of fucking mentioning it, but I actually have not been very well. And I probably have tried to hide the reality of the impact of that for too long. And I probably should have just fucking walked, said, I can't do it, and all. But I'm pretty passionate about the business, pretty passionate about what we're doing. And you imagine being a fucking sportsman with a broken leg, it's fucking frustrating as fuck.
No, fair enough. I mean.
So, but I also understand when you send me messages like, oh, I've seen it for this long, that long, out of office. But, mate, I've been ill the whole way fucking through. I just fucking, it's got worse, and that's why I left London, and I've done the very best I can to cope with it, and it's not, I'm fucking lying about it. I hate it, because I think it makes me weak. I have this fucking heart condition bullshit, and it's, you can say, it's not about the mental stuff as much as anything, mate, it's physical fucking exhaustion at times, and I'm not going to go on about it, but it is what it is, but I've been given no leniency, and I, if you actually think about it from my point of view, I actually left the business really with people that I thought were my friends. Aubrey, you, Linton. I understand the Mehl thing, Mehl, I'll be honest with you, I don't agree with what Mehl's asking for on the share front. I don't. At the end of the day, the company has paid to buy those shares. If he wants to take 50% of Matt's shares, and I've never lied about it, I've never said categorically it was ever defined this way or that. I've said it was left grey, which is probably one of the worst things in the world. And part of the reason we have problems, But I personally believe, at the end of the day, the solution that was made was the company bought the shares, therefore he's invited 23.5%. If he wants us to consider that he wanted to buy half, then at least he should agree to that being an external contribution from his father, because there's no logic to it otherwise, from his father and my mother, that we both should have put in half or whatever the pro rata is, i.e. his father and my mother should both now, if that is what's going to be the case, put in 45,000. I've always said that, I've always said to my mum that my mum's willing to do it, said that he should be willing to do it if that's what he wants. But, he wasn't. He basically, to my mind, he wants his cake and eat it. Having said that, I do not think this business will survive another fight. I don't want another fight. I'm not hiding that fact. But I also didn't want to fight 3 years ago, and I asked Rambe, I begged Rambe, not to fight me. I said, mate, let's find a solution. Please don't do this. I'll never back down. You've known me since I was 12. And it will be the same now. And, I don't want another fight, but if I have to have one, then let's have one. And that is pretty much how I see it. And I've tried to bite my lip, and I've tried, to put my pride aside, and I've tried to say, look, here's a solution that we might get, be able to do. And if I could have a Nirvana situation, someone said to me, what do you want to do today? I'd be like, can we please all stop fucking fighting? Please, can we get back to the table like we should always have been? Because we were actually, and I personally find it very, very sad, genuinely, hugely sad. And we're behaving like, I said this to Mel in the, I sent him a message after the email. Mm-hmm. And I said, we're behaving like something along the lines of,
Singh and Schneider, yeah.
We're behaving like Singh and Schneider, and we're not them. We're better than that. Mm-hmm. So, here's, I don't know, you tell me what you think of this. This is what I would hope was the Nirvana outcome.
Mm-hmm.
I have to accept, I struggle with trust, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so obviously what's happening at the moment is kind of completely destroying that as well, but I really do want to fucking suck it up, because for all of us, but mm-hmm. you know, particularly for myself, if I'm selfish, yeah, I don't want to fight another 3 years, mate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. And I think it is really fucking sad if that's where we end up, that we just end up like Schneider and Singh. So here, if I had a magic wand, is what I would like, is we get back to the table and we talk and we're sensible about stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm never going to give up or regret my mum to agree to give up majority. You know that, right?
Yeah, fair enough. No.
But hang on, hear me out. I also think there's been lots of things said that I think I should listen to, and I think I also, if I'm deeply honest, know about myself.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I am good at generating opportunities and fighting the first fight. I am not good at managing businesses and doing the ongoing operational management. Yeah. I don't think that's my greatest strength. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're perfect magic wand and everything was fixed. Well, that's great. And also, do you know what, on me? I think also, you know, Stuart says to me all the time, and I think he's right, I'm too kind. You might think I'm an arsehole, but actually I think it's a lot of the things is also because I'm too kind. Like, for example, you know, do you think Mehul really, if he'd been in my position, would have tolerated the situation with Aubrey?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he would. Like, I don't think he would have accepted the decline in performance, mate. Yeah,
but I think that the other side of it, and this is what you're saying about Stuart, is if that is the case, then there needs to be more upfront dialogue about it, rather than I feel like, as always, and this is symptomatic of this business from inception, not just from the point that you or I or Aubrey got involved, that things happen and they bubble up. You know, and they don't get addressed, and they bubble up, and they turn into what, you know, a molehill turns into a mountain. Whether it's, for instance, Meryl shares, for instance, whether it's the Aubrey situation, there's a lot of things that are doing that.
Yeah, but a lot of things like you say to me, right? Oh, I haven't rammed out RAN Limited because you think that I'm worried about something at RAN Limited. Yeah, you said that, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I want to wind up RAN Limited as soon as fucking possible. I have absolutely no reason not to wind up RAN Limited.
I think a lot of the problems lie in the fact that, really, when the Jet deal got done, we obviously held out, partly because of the Schneider aspect. And then, realistically, and, you know, hindsight's a great thing, we should have got that buried far sooner. And then we wouldn't have had this situation this year that we had with Mehul, because that time would have almost elapsed, wouldn't it? And Mehul could have his share.
If you look back, especially when we were like living together and like mm-hmm. talking all the time, yeah? You know, how many times did I say to you, actually, no, what you said last week was correct? Mm-hmm. I used to say it all the time. Like, like you'd say something, I might say, no, if that follows. And then a week later, I'd be like, actually, no, that was good advice, mate, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And perhaps because I've been up here, I mean, let's be honest, mate, me being up here has had a material effect, yeah?
I've always said, though, from early this year.
But I understand the point you've made, mate.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been very fucking well, mate. Like, do you not think I want to go back to the office tomorrow? Do you not mm-hmm. think that's what I want? That is what I want. I swear on my mother's life, that's what I want. Yeah? But I have. You know, I gave 100 hours a week for 2 years, and it did. And then Nikki left. I came home. I was so fucking lonely in London, mate. You know, and I felt completely broken. Mm-hmm. And I came home, and then I started having these fucking issues. You know, I don't know whether it's my heart or what the fuck it is, right? But you know, still work my nuts off, still try and do everything. But the thing is, you guys don't see it, and I think you underestimate. Like, you know, with the accounts and stuff. Like, I am honestly. And, you know, I feel like I'm almost just talking to a brick wall even now. It's like, but There's no reason for me to lie. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm doing my best, and you can audit the fuck out of the account, it's fine. And if there's anything to go back, anything to, I honestly think the company's going to earn a lot of money. All of you, I think, have no idea what contributions, you know, I personally and potentially GCV and Adam made to cost. Every time there was a fucking cost, yeah? Every time we needed to bring someone in, whether it was Nikki or Alex, mm-hmm. or whether there was money needed to give to Stuart or this, that, and the other, yeah? It was always fucking, I just did it, mate. Because I didn't, my focus was on supporting the business. It wasn't on this, that, and the other. And, you know, for example, Adam hasn't fucking had a fucking payment for any work for, I can't even remember since when.
Yeah, I mean, this comes back to the whole reconciliation side of it.
But it's all about transparency, right? It's all about taking too long. And I understand all of this. Anyway, magic wand would be this. And tell me what you think of this. And I don't completely, please, I'm thinking aloud a little bit here because this is stuff going around in my head, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, I'm not willing to give up or get my mother to give up ultimate control, right? But mm-hmm. I am completely willing that people, it's not working how it is and that things need to change, okay?
Yeah.
I think Mehul can have a lot for business. I think it's ridiculous, the argument, for whatever reasons, and we can go into it to the wazoo. It's ridiculous where we've ended up with Mehul, and I think it's largely down to, well, in some ways, I kind of blame Adam Bose for it.
Poor Adam.
But as far as I was concerned, Mehul and Adam were basically talking. So basically, there were the different points of view, right? So back in the day, many models were discussed. One was the company buys the shares. The other one was Mehul buys half, we buy half, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, as I say, I think it's a grey area. I don't think it ever got to decide what it was. But obviously, at this point, I kind of go, well, hang on. How is it fair that Mehul gets like a 4x multiple uplift?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we get like a 2x, yeah? Or my mother gets like 2x when Adam put his neck on the line in the first place for the board, and when we were being sued by M&I and on the cusp of being sued by Reuters and Bloomberg. Yeah. Like, he didn't step up then. Secondly, when we did all the fucking antiques and everything, you know, like needed to fund Stuart, he didn't step up then. Who did? Us. You know, so it's like, we've done all the work and yet he wants 4x and thinks we're entitled to 2x. And not just that, he's not willing to contribute. He's not willing to do it as an income to contribute the external funds to make it as it, I mean, like any judge would look at it and go, well, how can you ask for a 4x uplift? And even if you had agreed to buy off Matt,
yeah,
and surely we should have both contributed externally to buy those shares, which is ultimately what I've said I will do, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not here or there, whatever, right? And I don't agree with the situation, but at the end of the day, mate, as I say, I don't think the business will survive another fight. I don't want another fight. And I think it's very sad if we end up that is the conclusion of all matters.
No, I agree in that sense. It is a case of things have dragged on for too long. I tried to warn you a little bit with certain things, not all of them, obviously, but you know.
You have, and you know, you said some very hurtful things in your recent email, in your recent WhatsApps, yes.
Yeah, but you can see I'm frustrated now because I sort of said
posted about it, and you literally just laid everything at my fucking door. Every, you know, the fact that there wasn't enough oxygen in the air yesterday or something was my fault, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it isn't my fault, mate. Not everything is my fault. I'm not saying I've got things perfect, but neither of you, neither is Aubrey, neither is Linton, neither is Mehul, blah, blah. Yeah. Yeah? We're human beings who don't get things right. And we can either fucking bitch and fight about shit that's gone on historically, or we can try and fucking actually do something with an opportunity at hand and stop being idiots and stop behaving like Singh and Schneider and get on with it.
Yeah.
Now, you asked us to do something last week. Mm-hmm. I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
You asked us to do something last week. We did it.
Yes.
We wanted to Thank demonstrate, you said, mm-hmm. we wanted to demonstrate good faith, yeah?
Yeah.
We didn't have a contract. We need contracts with you, Linton, Aubrey, et cetera. We did mm-hmm. it before the contracts were signed, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Because I do think that you have a, I actually do think you have a valid point that things have taken, particularly you, by the way, if I'm honest. Mm-hmm. And I know you think, I'm going to swear to you something on my life, mate, on my mother's life, on my father's grave, on the life mm-hmm. of my two nieces and nephews. I have never, ever, ever intended to take this out of you or mm-hmm. to use you or to manipulate you or to take advantage of your situation ever. Mm-hmm. I swear that on all the people and all the lives I've just said with all my heart.
Fair enough, yeah. No, I mean...
But you have been, arguably, if I have been too kind at times,
mm-hmm.
you have been too patient. And mm-hmm. as a result of that, because I take long, not because I'm a bad person, but because I take a long time to do things, yeah? Mm-hmm. You've inferred that I'm taking the piss, yeah? I promise you, mate, and it almost want to cry, mate, telling you, I have never, ever been the case. And, you know, you do. You are probably the one person in all of this that I think is entitled to say, not to say the hurtful things that you said, but to say, to be pissed off. And you're probably right. I probably had that, you know, you probably feel like you have to shout that loud for me to get off my arse and prioritize.
Yeah, I mean,
you.
It was one of the things I said to Adam last week.
Listen to me.
Yeah.
Jason, and for that, I am very, very sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Because I never, ever, I promise you, never, ever tended to take advantage. But
mm-hmm.
because of time and all the things, I can understand why you felt like that. And, you know, if I've always said to you, I have everybody, mate, that you and I are the people I think that really embarked on this journey. Like, if I'm honest, mate, I would never have done what I did at Heron if we hadn't been aligned, if you like. And if you go back to that time, like Linton came with us and so on, but he wasn't driving it. You and I drove it.
Yeah.
I promise, mate, I've never, ever, 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 ever done it to take advantage. But I can understand if you see me bring in Alex in or Stuart in and then haven't addressed your pay rise, you think he's taking the fucking piss.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
and you know what? You have a valid point, but the only reason I offered Alex the enhanced thing because I felt we were over a barrel.
Yeah.
The only reason I put Stuart in is because revenues are down or blah, blah. I've done it because I think it's maybe something for the, you know, best thing for the solution for the business, you know, but I can understand from your point of view and especially probably, and I think this is the reality, as things in your life have started to become painful.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, fucking hell, enough of this shit. Why the fuck is he being addressed and him being addressed? Even if you can now step back and go, okay, I understand he may have done the business, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I could have addressed your stuff earlier, and I failed in doing that, and I probably did take advantage of your patience and kindness, but not proactively. I just mm-hmm. probably because you weren't shouting, you know, and there's so many things to do. You address the things, like if revenue's down, you address the things shouting at you the most, so, oh, I've got to get Stuart, you know? Yeah. But nonetheless, you pretty much unleashed recently. I think some of the things you said were unkind and unjust. Mm-hmm. But I do understand also, you know, how things could have looked from your side.
Yeah, I don't want to sit there and have to be saying shitty things, to be honest. I said this to Adam quite sort of frankly. I said, it's a little bit sad that it has to come to this to be able to get stuff. And unfortunately, that creates a situation where people only start to suspect things even more in reality, but you know it is what it is. Let's try and move forward.
Well, and that's what I'm trying to do. And mm-hmm. the fact that you're calling me now, well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I think
magic wand. I actually think we should bring metal in.
Mm-hmm.
So at the moment, I'm just trying to finish up the accounts to do the transparency for tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, they're probably going to get to you guys tomorrow, but I'm doing all the stuff to give to Albert. So he did get a draft accounts last week. I'm just finishing off a 1.5 million data point spreadsheet. Some of that's not related to RAM, to be honest. It's to do with Adam and I's historic businesses and stuff, but it may have the reason it's been done together, I think, as I told you before, is it may provide an opportunity to assist with the accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, in any case. So that's that. I think that'll be sorted. And if you want, you know, part of that is, you know, if threats are being made about authorities coming in, I'm going to make sure when they walk into this fucking office that there's a pack there going, here you go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to, you know, nothing's been done wrong. These are the accounts. We're happy to be held to account for an independent audit. And I've shared that with the lawyers and the accountants already. You know, so if, you know, if anyone did turn up, because obviously I'm not numb to what happened with Stuart. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, if they do turn up, fine. They can have this, and then if they want an independent audit, and then they'll be able to find historic records at this point that say that, you know, everything's been referred to the accountants and auditors. We believe that this is the correct situation. if anything's not correct, then, you know, we will happily, independent audit wise, you know, make payments back or whatever. I'm just finishing that now. And oh, by the way, I know the Armageddon option, by the way, that you guys have been considering, yeah? Means you know exactly what I'm talking about, yes?
Hang on, no, I'm typing something for someone else, but yeah, go on, go ahead.
So I know there was I know all about the options to, if I hadn't tried to do the right thing to this recently, yes? Mm-hmm.
Go on. I am listening.
I know all about the alternate course of action that you guys, and I'm sorry, the word is conspiracy, you guys have been conspiring to do.
Well, I don't know exactly
what
I've known
happened,
about, but, you know.
No, mate, don't lie to me. I'm not lying to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? I know all about it, and I've been protecting myself for it for a long time. I've been gathering evidence for it for a long time. But, and if we fight, then obviously, you know, of course I've got to protect myself, yeah?
Yeah, I guess everyone will protect them. Yeah, like, you know, people will protect themselves when it comes to that sort of situation. And as you say, hopefully it won't come to it.
Well, I'm trying to avoid it.
Yeah.
Okay. And I hope that my actions that I'm doing illustrate that. And I guess the fact that you're phoning me tonight means that maybe I'm doing okay trying to do that. So that kind of is the stuff of yesterday to address, right? That's point one. So let's just move on from that. Point two, if I had a magic wand, then you should tell me what you think magic wand as well. I magic wand believe, well, basically our revenues are down.
Yes.
I'm nervous to say things to you because I know that you have shared recordings of stuff I've shared with you before to other people. I know that, do you understand what I'm saying? Like, it's hard if I know that I'm cautious with what I say going further, and if I have to say something that is critical of somebody, then it's hard for me to say that because I'm concerned that it'll cause more damage, but I don't know what else to do. I've always asked for your counsel. I've always said that it's probably the most valuable counsel I have. I've tried to explain that your fears about me in terms of morally and ethically are, well, not explain, I've tried to, on the life of my most precious people in my family, swear to you. But I've also tried to explain why I understand the views you've taken and why you feel you've had to shout as loud as you have. Having said that, if you want my honest opinion, I have no choice. If I can't talk to you, what can I do? How can we move forward? If I can't take hands and move on, then what can I do?
No, I don't think it's a secret that revenue is down. I think, look, everyone is well aware of it, to be honest. I don't think it's obvious to me. It's obvious to
anyone.
Look, it's obvious to Aubrey. He sees the bank account, you know.
That's why he's massively, and that's why Aubrey is hitting himself.
Mm-hmm. No, and it goes back to the point, he is, you know, he costs a fair bit. But yeah, and that's the angle I'm guessing you're looking at.
Well, it's not just me. Well, the point is, I'm tired of it just being me. Yeah, it used to be me and you, like whether that was formally or informally. You and I used to talk about stuff, and those were pretty much the way it is. And you know, as I say, often I might not agree with you on the Monday, but then I'd be like, actually, mate, that was a good point on you made, because I just the way I am, mate. I digest. My point is right, and then when I go to bed and I go, actually, no, maybe Jason was right about that. And I've said that to you, not just now in arguments and stuff. I said that to you like 2-3 years ago, I would say that to you. I'd be like, sorry, mate, yeah, that's a good point, you should do that. Yeah? And maybe I haven't heard your voice as much as I should have because we're not living together anymore. Yeah?
Yeah.
And maybe it's part of the reason. But let's move on from the past and all that, and let's hope we can find a way to sort that. The point is, going forward, right? So I'll tell you what is currently things are being done or have been done, and perhaps how things could be in the future. And I don't. This is me thinking aloud. These are not dictatorial directions. They're not firm, absolute ideas. They are things that are in the pipeline and things that I think may be able to help where we're at. So, if there is a way to resolve the matter with metal, and I think, you know, I think my personal view is, I think it would be a bit hard yeah? But I think, I hope he's the man I think he is, and I hope that we can. So that's my view on that.
Yeah.
Ultimately, at the moment, we've got costs down and our costs are up. Now, our costs are up because of the following. Now, you haven't actually had your, I don't know exactly where you're at with your numbers, but it's, ultimately you want to get paid more. Check.
Yeah.
Right. So arguably, let's just say a person, yeah, not me, a person thinks that obviously that might be fair, that you get paid a decent salary and time is up for you to continue to act without that. And that doesn't exclude other things. Like, I will help you, you know, assuming you don't fucking try and, well, whatever, assuming that we can sort the past or whatever. But at the end of the day, you know, generally want to help you, if I'm honest with you, mate.
Yeah.
I am hurt by things that I said. I'm hurt by what happened with Stuart, but I wouldn't have answered the phone to you. And not just from a business point of view, mate, because you know, ultimately, deep down, if I was that blindsided, yeah, as in that blinkered, which is how Rambia was. I mean, remember, the fight with all of this kicked off because Rambia wouldn't pay my mum 13 grand. That's really why it all kicked off, yeah? I didn't know there was 3.5 million of stealing. I was coming after 13 grand just on principle. Yeah. And I told him to fuck his shares, he could keep them. You know, if I, you know that side of my personality, right?
Yeah.
But, and, you know, of course, as part of that side of my personality is upset by things between me and you, but I also think the points I've raised with you, and that's case in point with you, yeah? I can also see where, you know, Mehl's, I don't agree with it, but I can also see Mehl's perspective. You know, and I think the worst thing, I think worst of worst, Mel thinks, oh, I'm not going to give him any shares or never was going to or whatever. I don't know if he thinks that. Well, that's absolutely never been the fucking case, whatever. But he doesn't know me over 30 years. He doesn't, maybe he got his doubts, things are taking too long and so on. And the money and transparency. Yeah. So I also get his. But the point is, I think, so let's say we appointed AN independent, AN, let's call him Bob Smith. So Bob Smith's now the new CEO. I think Bob Smith would take an opinion that you should be paid at least, you know, a reasonable salary, right? Doesn't mean to be best salary in the world. And I think that Bob would say, given what's happened in the past, then yes, you should be entitled to, like, as he might informally over a bar one night at a hotel say to me, yeah, you should see him right on the house. And also, you know, if there's shareholdings or share option schemes to be involved, then that's fine. Yeah, they should be done. Yes?
Yeah.
I think that would be a Bob Smith, independent, best CEO in the world advice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That said, as I've said, you know, red line in the sand, shareholding ownership, I won't give it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
In terms of control, but that doesn't mean in terms of management. There's a different thing. So I think then you go, okay, so we've got costs down and yet, there's an example of where costs are going up, but hang on a second, what the fuck are we supposed to do? Because Jason's integral, and also, let's be honest, so Bob and I are in a bar now chatting. Bob says, but also, you've kind of lost impetus from Jason, and you've lost support, and you've lost him wanting help with everything, because personal reasons aside, which I hope we can sort, but also, you know, he needs to be paid a decent salary. Like, he doesn't feel like fucking getting out of bed. He's tired now. It's 3 years on or 2 years on or whatever. Yeah. So we have to fix Jason. He's too critical. Forget emotions. He's too critical. Blah, blah. Okay. So then the next idea. Okay. So what else is on the cost? Well, why else are costs up? Well, we brought Stuart on. He hasn't been able to come into the office for very political reasons, but ultimately he has been advising on what he thinks the business can do.
Yeah.
And there's an argument that we feel he has contacts and can open doors and make opportunities for the business.
Yeah.
And Bob then goes, I agree. So you've got him, and there's a VAT issue with Stuart, but it's not a fight for today. But whatever, like, why are you, he basically, the agreement with Stuart was, I said 3 grand, he said 5. You're aware of this, I think, anyway. Then he said, all right, we'll meet in the middle 4. And then he put VAT on top of it. Now, that wouldn't matter if we were doing VAT on time every month. At the moment, it's a cash flow issue, blah, blah. Anyway, and also, Stuart was supposed to be cleaning VAT back for about 20 or 30,000 that he said he would contribute to the business, on all his legal fees. Like we did back it when we got 50 grand back when we moved from there and thingy. As in, like, if you spent, we spent $1 million on needles, you get all the BT back, that's part, and then we got the subsequent 180 or whatever it was. Yeah?
Okay. No, I'm listening. No, that makes sense.
So the point was that, obviously, Stuart spent a load on legals. He was supposed to get a VAT back, and he said he would contribute into the business because of costs paid out.
Yeah. And it would make it more neutral.
Apparently now there's no VAT to come back. I haven't come and investigated it because it could be another challenging conversation. Yeah. But at the end of the day, you know, it's not fair. If that money has come back, he keeps it when he's promised it to us, to the company. Anyway, nonetheless, it's argued that Stuart is, you know, if things are down, we've got to change things. Yeah. Now, to change things, arguably you've got to spend money. So that's you, that's Stuart. Then we've got a guy called Greg Ellers out of the States. Now, Greg Ellers is apparently, you know, it's someone Brad wants involved.
Yeah.
Somebody I understand from the people at all the information and haven't been fully involved, but in terms of ongoing, but ultimately he's adding value to the desk. There's an argument that he can help, and, you know, that is an action that could help the desk and improve our US product and enable Brad to then go out and sell it.
Yeah.
So that's a way to proactively turn things around. So Greg Ellers isn't working for charity, he wants $5,000 a month.
Yeah. No.
Right, so there's three examples. Yeah, yeah. Let me keep going. Then we've got and you will have your opinions on these various people, yeah?
Yeah.
Then we come to Alex Piper, again, who you will have your own opinion on.
Yeah.
Firstly, it was never intended for him to continue at this rate. And, you know, case in point, you know, that's dragged too long. Why is he still at that rate? Because it might take too long to do stuff. It's, I mean, again, it's not because I think it's right. I think there's a conversation to have with Alex. I think his remuneration needs to decrease, as was always planned. I don't think the investment has been worth it at the rate we're paying him, particularly as IPC hasn't come through as quickly as it should have done, and there's various discussions around that, blah, blah. I don't want to put specific business points.
Yeah.
Then you've got Alex. Yeah. But then on the flip side, I could be of some use. There's that. Then you've got, I continue. Then you've got Ruth. Arguably, yes, Ruth would be good, but I think she's overpaid. Alex and Pierce recruited her. Stuart's opinion, for example, is she should be on 18 to 20.
Yeah.
And, you know, the reality is that she came in, she was supposed to help Aubrey as an EA, PA, whatever, but also she was supposed to have like digital marketing skills and all this stuff to sort of carve cover Laura's extraction as well.
Yeah.
In reality, I don't think her CV covers it. I think it's just a luxury to have her. That's in my own opinion, to have her, especially if we've got Aiden as well, because ultimately all we've done is bring in Aiden and Ruth to replace Sarah and Anita.
Yes.
And they used to sit there watching EastEnders. So to my mind, they should be one person, and they should be incentivized by commission, and they should have the skills that we need for the business, not just be a...
Yeah, and I've always said Susie was, you know, a hard worker if you go back to the time before Anita and Sarah, you know. And I don't know exactly what Susie got paid, but effectively... I know it wasn't anywhere near what Anita was getting paid, yeah. That's for sure.
Then you come to offices. Well, now 180 is gone.
Yeah.
Again, you made your point on that. I think, again, you had a valid point, but I also think I did regarding keeping an option open for Stuart to work out of.
Having
said that, you know, maybe it was kept too long. Maybe, you know, there is part of me. And as I've said, I think there's 2 or 3 months that I have to back pay because I said I would, so I will. But of course, but it's a point, right? Like, so, and you know, and arguably going forward, we're tied in, I think, till March, but you know, we might not need a fucking full office in the middle of the city. We might decide just to have the analyst desk in the centre, right. And whether we bring fucking support services to Stoke or to fucking London Bridge or whatever, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
We don't necessarily need to be spending £150,000 a year on an office for a radio station.
Yeah, fair point.
Yeah. But again, these are discussions that should be made at some kind of LSC that consists of you, me.
Yeah.
Whoever's heading sales at the time and potentially, you know, metal.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is obviously, and then obviously there's the, you know, elephant in the room, Aubrey. You know, Aubrey gets paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
Is he worth that amount? Is he is he in the office enough? Is he driving that? You know, I'm not, you know, I have my own views. We've talked about it a lot. I think there's lots of value to Aubrey. I think the company would have really struggled without him. I think he's done an amazing job in some regards.
Yeah.
As in, he has, you know, he's been a consistent figurehead. But, you know, everything gets laid at my door. Where's the strategy? Where's this? Where's that? And the problem is, mate, I can't be head of legals, head of finance, head of strategy, head of business development. And that is what's been killing me. Because where's, you know, where's the business development plan? You know, I remember we went on the LSE, I was like, please can everybody do a one-page strategy? You know, what all we should be really is COO, acting CEO. He should pick that up and say, right, guys, yeah, let's get these strategies done. Boom, let's drive them forward. You know, there has, there should have to, you know, he is like the most senior person in the office, mate.
Yeah, and yet, yeah.
Everything has really fallen at my door, and if it doesn't get done, it's my fault. And that is where I say to you, not with violins and fucking pussiness, but honestly, that's not on. I can't do all the accounts and all the legals and then do business development and strategy. And I have been working on loads of stuff, yeah, like strategy, because I find it interesting. That's what I really want to do, is strategy and business development, yeah?
Yeah.
But there hasn't been any help.
Yeah, I think Aubrey will always turn around and throw it back, because he always seems to think that he needs approval from you for certain things, etc. And there's always that argument.
This is a very, very critical point that I think is completely and utterly unfair. Mm-hmm. I have tried so many times to ask Aubrey, ring me. Like, he could ring me. I said, ring me every day, 10 minutes, run through a list of 10 to 20 things. So he could ring me and say, look, propose strategy for business development. Bring Stuart in. Yeah. Bring in Greg Ellers. Get Brad to link up with learning and trading schools in the States. Similarly, he could say cost management. Let's get rid of Alex. Let's get Alex Thorne to take a £500 tech, you know, let's get rid of Ruth. Blah, blah, like loads of things, whatever. Yeah. But he's never proactively come to me with anything. And I'm not trying to slag anybody off. I'm just telling you what I think the situation is. And I have been used, and I honestly believe this, right? I have been used as a scapegoat for failings. And it's not fair, and it's not on.
Yeah.
And it's wrong. Because I am not. Is it, well, there should be other people driving ideas and business development. It shouldn't all come back to, well, George hasn't told me to do this. You know, he's too senior, he gets paid too much to say, I need to be given a list like my Tina does.
No, look, I always said when we fell out in June, I think that there is an issue that if you're a 52% shareholder and then you're making unpopular decisions, then it's going to create a certain level of mutiny. I always warned you of that. And I think
it's also not been there, mate.
Yeah, well, maybe not being there as well, but I think however you combine that, you know, there is definitely a combination of those things have created the circumstance we're in now.
We're looking ahead and we're saying, okay, so these are all the decisions. We're chatting with Bob Smith. He's got all these set of bubble. So what do you think Bob Smith says? Because Bob Smith has a beer with you.
Yeah, he needs to look for savings somewhere is what you're trying
to do. No, not just savings, because yes, savings, but it's not, listen, if we just cut costs, so for example, I could cut costs tomorrow, mate. Aubrey, mm-hmm. you're gone. Stuart, you're gone. Alex, you're gone. Ruth, you're gone. I wouldn't be able to cut yours. I'd have to, if I'm realistic, I'd have to mm-hmm. say you're entitled to your pay rise because I think you're too critical.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. So four people, even if those four people, that's four plus four plus seven plus that. Who's the one plus three? So that's eight, 15, three. You know, it's like 20 to 25 grand a month you just save.
Yeah. Which is significant. Does make a difference.
Given we're basically at break even.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's majorly significant.
Yeah.
But how's the business going to grow?
Yeah, I think one of the things with the Ruth thing, if you want my honest opinion, is that Ruth is not as young as Susie, and therefore if you hire someone of Ruth's age or Sarah's age or Anita's age, they are going to have some work experience behind them, and therefore
that you're paying for a certain level of experience and track record.
I understand that, but she had to have, surely to God, like, given the dynamics of the situation we were in, digital marketing had to be almost at least 50% of her CV.
Yeah, maybe there's a failing there. I think I'm not too worried about skill set so much, because I think actually if you pick the right person, they very quickly learn the skills, or are keen to learn the skills, particularly if they're young. I think maybe...
back in the day, you used to use We Are a Football... What's that? Seven... Whatever Rambier's guy was called.
Yeah, I know he had a certain guy who he used to go to for hiring people.
Was his name Speedball or something?
Yeah, that sounds like it.
Yeah, and we could use Daryl, who's the guy that used to work with Laura in Stoke.
Yeah.
Give him a retainer of 600, 700, 800 a month and do all our digital marketing that way.
Yeah.
And also, these decisions are to be made at a point where the business is not dead, but it's struggling. You know, it needs to make some changes. So, you know, does all we really need an EA, PA? I mean, only partners at IBM got EAs and PAs, yeah? Mm-hmm. Everybody used to get them. What did IBM do? Got rid of all of them, except for partners. Mm-hmm. Because they were a cost to the business, and ultimately people can do it. Like, you know, HR, for example, all we can do it.
Yeah. I think, yeah, there is that. It's a tricky situation. I'm just trying to think back of the Rambier days.
All these decisions are difficult, right?
Yeah.
And if I'm honest, why some of them haven't been made? Because maybe have been too weak.
I think our general hiring strategy has been somewhat lackluster. Rambier and Matt had it down to an art, even if you exceed the churn rate.
But have you noticed whenever I raise anything, like, for example, I think Rambier was whatever Rambier did, or Matt did, Rambier was a really fucking bright guy. So I was like, look, I said the other day about bonuses, have a look at what they did as policy historically. And every single time, Aubrey's response is, well, we can't look at what a crook did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he might have been a crook, but he's also bright as fuck. And he also made decisions in the interest of the business at every fucking point.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, look, as I've always said, that it comes back to if you're going to hire someone, take on two and get rid of one.
Even that proposal that you made, and I totally agreed with that, by the way.
Yeah, they
pushed back on it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not too sure where that comes from, but I do feel on the desk it's taken a little bit longer for the guys to get versed on the desk than they may have needed to. And that lack of competition has been part of that.
Okay. So now you've got a business run. Let's just add the numbers. You've got a business running and it's losing 30 grand a month or mm-hmm. 20 grand a month. Yeah. Or breaking even or whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We just talked about decisions that can be made. Now Bob's chatting to you in the bar. Dave, what do you think?
You've put me on the spot a little bit, but...
This is the point. I'm on that spot every fucking day, right?
Yeah. I do agree that we need to find somewhere to get savings.
Okay, so let me ask you, let me do it simply.
Yeah.
Do you think Alex should be looked at?
I think Alex is a controversial character because of Stuart. If you're going to have Stuart in, then you're going to have problems having Alex in as well.
So do you think we should keep Alex and not bother about Stuart?
I think, if I'm brutally honest, I don't want to sound horrible to Alex because I think he's genuinely a nice guy. But I think Stuart, from a pure business strategy point of view, is the person with the connections. And I think... part of the reason may be, you know, Alex has tried hard, but he doesn't have the contacts, and the city is all about contacts, in my opinion.
So your answer is?
So, look, ultimately, I think it might be a case that if you are looking at costs, and yes, Alex is probably less valuable, if I'm being brutally honest. I think it's very sad it's got to that, because I don't...
What about Greg Ellis?
I don't know much about the guy. I've heard good things about him, so I'm kind of going off the back of what people have said rather than anything that I really know. So I just have to take, I'd have to trust people's judgments and
well, revenue's down in the States. We've got to find some way to turn it around. Regular's been at least a proactive proposal. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my view. My view, by the way, is exactly the same as yours. Yeah.
I think, yeah, there is an argument to look at other options there. You know, Greg isn't the only option. It's just that, as you say, he's the only option that has presented himself to us.
Okay, and at the moment he's on a roll in 1 month, so it's not like we've tied in for 50 grand. We're doing it month by month, yes?
Yeah, and I don't think we can commit to anything realistically at the moment.
And the and this that comment and this discussion is exactly what should happen at an LSC.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
So the next person we talked about was Ruth.
Ruth has got quite a few qualities like Susie in terms of she
bear
is...
Bear in mind, you've got to say 20,000 to 25,000 at the moment, Alex. So Alex is probably, the proposal with Alex would be to reduce him from his current, what, 4 grand plus, whatever, down to 1,500.
Yeah, I think...
Maybe 1,000. Maybe work from home.
You should, yeah, if I'm brutally honest...
At the moment, you say 3,000 from 25,000 target.
Yeah, yeah, okay. This is like who wants to lose a million.
No, but this is the reality of what we're facing.
Yeah, I think with Alex, you can't just go, right, you're gone, because he's got family and kids.
So Alex is off, now we're looking at Ruth.
Ruth, in my opinion, I think she's got a good work ethic. I think she's a good character. I think, yes, there is an argument that if we got someone younger, she would be cheaper. And we would have been able to extract more value. So I do, you know, I kind of wonder with Ruth. It's not that she's a bad person, so I kind of, I think it's a sad thing to say.
Basically, no one's going to have a job unless we fix this 20 to 25,000 saving in 3 to 6 months. Look at it that way.
Yeah. No, I think it'd be very sad to let her go, but I think it might be, you know, there is an argument.
Okay, Aidan?
Aidan, I don't know. I feel that Alec should do more to get output from Aidan. I think maybe there is an argument that Aidan should have picked up certain jobs in light of Sarah, Anita, whatever, going. And he hasn't done. And I think maybe that is because... He is very young and people feel that maybe, you know, someone who is almost a teenager shouldn't be handling sort of HR stuff, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe it's a little bit out of his remit, but.
Arguably HR could sit with Aubrey.
Yeah, there's certain things that could sit with Aubrey. I think Aidan can pick up more. I feel that Aidan's not picking up stuff, not because of,
Okay, Jace.
Go on.
Can't spend an hour on each person.
I think...
They've got to make decisions.
Reality...
But it's interesting, because listening to you, everything you say is exactly what goes around in my head, and that's why they're all still there.
Yeah. Look...
Because it's not a nice thing to fucking get rid of people, mate.
Aidan should have been... Aidan needs to be steered a bit more to pick up other jobs. He's exclusively Alex bitch, basically, and therefore...
Shall I make my proposal for Aidan? Might help you.
I think Aidan should pick up other jobs that, in light of Ruth going, basically. I think that's the
reality. There you go. That's exactly what I think, too.
Yeah, I think that's the reality of it.
Next, we come to Stuart.
Stuart's a difficult one. He's a controversial character. And I think that's again, Stuart and Alex I find really sad because I think, you know, I like Alex, and I feel that Stuart is valuable. Obviously, I get on with Stuart. I can understand why people don't get on with Stuart. I feel that people should give Stuart a bit more of a chance. I think there's a lot of hostility, and I feel that Stuart himself hasn't deserved all of that hostility. I can see where it comes from. Stuart wants to get back on his own feet, effectively. if I'm being brutally honest, I think Stewart, if he's onside, is good. But I think we've messed him around a lot, and I don't know what his exact position is. If you can keep him onside, then he's valuable. If you don't keep him onside, then, you know, Stewart's a sort of all in or all out person, you know, and his sort of mood as well reflects that, you know. He'll either be right, that's it, I'm walking away, throw all his toys out, or he'll be really helpful.
So my view on Stewart is, given the current situation with revenue, so this would be my proposal. Given his current situation with revenue, I think we should bring Stewart in for 3 months and see how we go.
Yeah, I think
if that means investment from whoever, yeah, then we should cover it at least for 3 months. And I feel a little bit the same with Greg Ellers. So yeah. You could say Stu and Greg Ellers are a potential cost saving. We might not need them, but ideally we bring them in 3 months, invest in that 3 months, and hopefully they will generate significantly more value than they have cost.
Yeah, you want them to be cost neutral is your target at the end of the
thing. My target is that they cost one unit and they generate 10.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm talking worst case scenario, obviously. There's no point, you know, if they're cost neutral, at least they're not a burden, is what I'm saying. But yeah, obviously, the intent is that they need to make money for the business, as does every other person.
And then you come to Aubrey.
The problem with Aubrey, and this is something that's dragged on for too long.
By the way, sorry, you, in consideration of this, you know, please bear in mind my comment regarding Metal coming.
I think in reality, you know, we keep discussing Aubrey, and this is something that's happened over a year ago. If you need to make the decision, you need to make the decision, but you need to then have a fairly open and frank conversation with Aubrey and say, well, I think it's not going to work out. Let's work out a strategy.
Bob is talking to you, mate. He's not talking to me. Bob's talking to you. Bob Smith, this new CEO, is talking to you.
Yeah. Well, I'm reflecting on it as you know, the decision should have been made.
X, Y, and Z. I'm not asking if I should do. I'm asking what you would say to a new independent CEO.
Look, the thing with Aubrey is it's been going on for 12 months. I think if you're gonna say you move on from having him, then I think we've taken too long to make that decision. I think if we're going to make that decision regardless...
We took too long to make the decision on 1080 as an office, but we still did it, and it was probably the right decision, right? May have been late.
Yeah.
But if it was 5 years down the road and I still haven't done it, it'd be worse.
Yeah, I think with Orbs, though, there's a significant price difference. You're talking of that there's a factor of six times more cost burden to Orbs. In reality, so he should have been dealt with, and that matter.
Looking back, Jace, we're looking forward.
Well, if it comes to it now, then you've got to say, well, how do you replace him? Who's going to fill that
basically,
gap?
The options to replace Aubrey, I guess, would be Mehl.
Mhm. Fair enough.
Possibly Stewart.
Mhm.
That's it, I think.
Yeah, it's got to be someone who's involved in the city. Look, well, this goes back to the thing. I know I keep bringing up past things, but when we got rid of Matt Sylvester, it was key that he, as I said to you in the car, I think on several occasions, you need to bring someone who's got a city mindset and city contacts. Those are the two things that have to be in that position. So it's as simple as that. But the thing is, if you get rid of Aubrey and you bring someone else in, they are going to cost. It's not like you're going to get your flow.
Well, they aren't, are they? If they're one of the two people I just proposed.
Yeah. I think Stewart and Mehl are going to be obviously more cost efficient than getting an outsider, and they're going to know the business. So you get two things out of that. And there's a very limited number of people you can go to for that position.
Yeah, but Bob was asking you if he ordered it.
Yeah, I think it's one of the two, to be honest. I don't know who you would pick.
So you're basically saying you think one of the two should come in to replace Aubrey?
I think it's a fairly valid point. I think, I don't know.
Given that we are loyal, well, I'm sure that I'm still at that stage, but I try to endeavour to be so.
I don't know who you'd pick.
Do you not think that we should give Aubrey a chance? Like, as in, say, look, mate, we're going to basically look, you know, we've got to look at costs, we've got to look at changing stuff.
Yes.
So Yogesh goes on about enjoying the desk, for example. Mm-hmm. And also, why can't he help in sales? So why can't he be, instead of being 100 grand a year, be 60 grand a year or 50 grand a year, at least then give it 3 months and see if he can fucking get out there and do some sales?
Yeah. But as I say, this is something that should have happened. But also, if we're going to do something about the situation, Aubrey has been on the team, and therefore you can't just say, right, you're going, whether he's got a contract or not. I think it is, yeah, you find a way to transition and at least give him a chance. And also, you know, like all, you know, people have mortgage and kids to deal with. Therefore, you've got to be seen to do the right thing. But I think.
Can I ask you, sorry, this is a historic question. You said the way I treat people as employees in your message.
Sorry, say that again.
You said to me the way I treat people as employees, as in like you were inferring that I do it badly.
I think that there's been...
I'm not trying to have an argument with you. I just don't think I have. And if I have...
I feel... If I look,
it's been through a failing of management or insight by myself, as opposed to being a bad person. There's only one person, as far as I know, that I've actually properly sacked. And to be honest with you, it was because of personal reasons and many things that nobody knew anything about. And that was Nikki.
Yeah, yeah, I know you're going to bring up Nikki.
I'm not bringing up negative. I don't think I've been on kind of like Laura, mate. Asked for her a certain salary, I supported her, I knew she had mental health problems, and I tried to be supportive of what she was trying to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm trying to understand is where is this terrible George person? What have I done that's so terrible? Maybe the worst thing is you.
Maybe the
delay in addressing your points. Maybe that I would argue, and actually if somebody asked me to write a book about this in 10 years, that's probably, I would say, I failed Jason because, not intentionally, but I probably, without realising, took advantage of his patience and good nature.
So I think my if I look at it just from my perspective purely, that realistically, there's been a lot of disputes this year compared to, say, you know, where 2016 we were all on the same side. Unfortunately, if I'm being brutally honest, those disputes have centred around you. I do agree that some of that is because you haven't been in the office.
I was just going to say, and look at when the disputes, look at when revenue fell,
yeah.
Look at when the disputes escalated, and it is all after I left. Mm. And I'm being honest with you, mate, I wish I'd never, ever had to leave.
Mm-hmm.
That's the truth.
I think... what has catalysed it more than anything is, I think, a lot of stuff got catalysed from the Live Squawk administration, and that didn't quite go to, you know, we had to change our course there because we changed our course and we had no plan initially. A lot of friction just came out of nowhere.
No, you're right. I think that was a catalyst. I also think this. I made the right decision for the business. And I am more adamant about that today than I ever was.
I think it's hard to quantify it. I think if we bought it or we didn't buy it, I think we would have made it work, as I've always said, one way or another. I think we should have been more prepared, looking back now, and it's obviously hindsight's a great thing, of we only planned for the we're going to buy it route. We never planned for the other outcome, and that was a stupid error on our behalf. I think.
Again, on my word, mate, I literally was fucking probably the most desperate person in the room to buy it.
I think there has been a huge...
I was fucking screaming.
Mm-hmm.
Are we on the call? I don't think you were.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the call with Andrew Adronicu and Chris Parker. Maybe you were, I don't know. And I was on the Friday, I think it was, on a Friday. And I was saying to Andrew, you've literally just cost fucking 25 people, fucking really decent people, their fucking jobs.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking disgusting. But I fucking absolutely lost it with him. Yeah? Mm-hmm. I remember Andrew saying to me, oh, have I, George? Have I? Have I cost their job? Is that my fault, is it?
Mm-hmm. I think... Live Squawkers, again, it's a controversial thing. I think anything, to be honest, that goes, unfortunately, and I don't think it's Stuart's fault, but anything that surrounds Stuart seems to be controversial, and I don't think it's Stuart's fault, unfortunately. It just seems to be
the
nature of things.
Some of it is Stuart's fault.
Pardon?
I'm not saying that was.
No, I'm no.
Stuart. The reason that you and I fell out is partly Stuart's fault, if you want my honest opinion, because he said things that I think that were untrue to you, and therefore you judged me accordingly. And they were untrue, mate.
I think...
For you, but the problem was, and I'm going to give you a piece of advice, I think you are too easily influenced by people that are with you day in, day out. And you should remember that. And you can tell me to go fuck myself, or you can ignore this piece of advice. Just because somebody's not there in the room that day and can't voice their opinions doesn't mean that they aren't actually the person with integrity.
Yeah, I think if I look back, yeah, on the Live Squawk stuff, I think our problem, in a way, is that we had an opportunity, and I think there is an argument that. Was it the right thing now, looking back at what's happening with Live Squawk, was it the right thing that it ended up going into administration? Because now Stuart seems to have lost his, you know, he has been effectively, that actually has kicked him out the business more than anything now, because Harry's now back in, okay, Harry's had to pay, you know, £250,000 to buy.
And the thing is, It was a huge opportunity.
Yeah, it was a huge opportunity, and I think
clients are going to get this. But it wasn't an opportunity, mate. Mm-hmm. That is the reality, and I believed it was. You did. I wanted to do it. Blah blah. But the reality was, it wasn't, because we would have gone in and got an empty office, and now we'd be spending fucking. They wouldn't have spent $300,000. Yeah, we would have.
Yeah.
And then we'd be trying to fucking fight to get every single fucking client back.
Yeah.
And I just don't think, if we were multimillionaires and we did it all on principle, then in 10 years it might have come out okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, and also, mate, correct me if I'm wrong, have you ever bought a company out of insolvency before in such a situation? No, is the answer. Have I? No.
No, I don't think most people have.
And the advice from two people that have worked in that industry for 25 years. Harry, by the way, I always assume Harry and Livesworth are doing amazing, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But do you know what? Maybe they're not. Maybe they're struggling financially. Because I imagine $300,000 was a lot of money for Harry to find with his partners, yeah?
Yeah, I think, well, ultimately.
And the reality is, like I thought naively in the day, until Andrew and Chris explained it to me, the reality, or I read between lines, is, they'll never see a penny of that 300 that's gone back into it. Well, they'll see probably 1p in the pound or 7p in the pound.
Yeah.
Because what do you think Andrew's going to do? $300,000 that they paid in. Oh, well, we need to do investigations. Oh, we need to do this. We need to do that.
Yeah.
They won't see a penny back from it. Well, they'll see, as I say, 7p in the pound back from it.
Yeah. I think, but that works also badly, though, for Stuart, because he won't. You know, he'll effectively see 7p in the pound, obviously, of it back. But he also has now been effectively kicked out. Okay, it's cost Harry $300,000. But we all know that hasn't really cost Harry that much money, because it's money that ultimately has been redirected out of the company. And so it's really money that belongs to Stuart to a certain degree. So I can see you know.
Do you see how many permutations there are?
Oh, yeah, yeah, there's loads.
So, and ultimately, in the end, two conversations made my decision for me.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke to Chris Parker and I said, mate, please don't give me a legal spin shit. Just, I don't want your legal opinion. I don't want anything. I just want
advice.
Just talk to me as if I'm your mate. Because we got on, right? Like, Chris was a good guy. I never met him, obviously, but he was a good guy and he was referred through a friend, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, just tell me if off the record, no legal advice, absolutely not binding you to it. And he said, all I can say is, and he kind of paused and then he went, and bear in mind, 40 grand we paid them, he owes a million quid a year. We're like absolute piss amp fine for him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he said, all I can say, if it's a friend of mine, I would be hugely relieved or something. I can't remember the exact word, but I'd be hugely relieved if he didn't buy this company.
Mm-hmm.
And the next conversation was I rang Andrew Andronicu, who was pretty much fucking majorly pissed off with me at this point, so I'd been swearing and shouting at him on that call I just described. We go, hi, he goes, and he answers the phone, hi. You know, he's a pretty obliterant guy, you know, as it is. And I went, hi, and he goes, not gonna, he goes, yeah. I said, I need your advice, mate. And he goes, okay, what? I'm really frosty. Mm-hmm. And I went, I just need your advice as a friend, mate. Again, same thing. I said, not professionally, not anything, just as a decent fucking. And this is the way it's not a pitch, mate. It's just the way I connect to people in life, yeah?
Yeah.
Anyway, and I said to him, I'm just asking you. And bear in mind, he's a friend of Richard Rohn's, who I know is a friend of Albie, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, there's that side of it. And he just said, I could tell he was like, literally wanted to come to fuck off the phone, yeah? And I just said, look, this is my last call I make before I make the decision. Yeah? I said, should we buy this company? And he was still frosty, and he went,
no.
Oh. I told you, George, you're going to buy an empty paper bag,
yeah.
But you are fucking relentless. You will not fucking accept any advice from anybody else. You're determined to fucking do it. So you're going to buy a paper bag. I've told you what. But with no warmth at all, yeah?
Yeah.
And I said, and that's what I'm worried about, and this is going to affect both the company I care about and my family, and I haven't been in this position before. And I'm worried I'm make my determination and belligerence and blah, blah, is going to cost people I care about. And he said, his frostiness changed and he went, George, I told you, if you buy this company, you are buying an empty paper bag. You want to spend, and you know what? You know, the pitch we made to buy it was like 300, then 100, then 200, then 500, whatever. It was like 800, 900 million quid over the course of a period of time, yeah?
Yeah.
Andrew rang me when I made that offer. He went, what are you doing, mate? That's ridiculous. You need to change your offer. As in, fucking reduce it.
Yeah, I think.
And he said to me, he said, empty paper bag.
That's I think.
And I said, thank you. And that is when I pulled the plug.
Yeah, I mean, the situation there is we should have really had the foresight to say, well, and we only did this towards the end, is we realised that, you know, there was £300,000 that was embezzled into micro latency, or just over that. And that money has been used to repurchase it.
If we'd gone after that 300 grand, yeah?
Yeah.
Then we bought it. So about 300 grand buying it. Then we spent another 300 grand going after it and legal fees, yeah?
Yeah. And then it's not going to be
then
there.
And then Harry goes bankrupt, so he hasn't got any money. So we spend 600 and
get nothing.
We won't even get the 300 back. And it is unjust, mate. And that, I think that's something that people don't realise. Maybe you sort of do, but you struggle with. It is unjust, mate. It's unjust. What we should have been able to do was the company should have been in administration. We should have been able to buy it for 300 grand, and that should have been the end of it.
Yeah.
People that are crooks and fucking criminals should not have been able to put everything under a fucking finance order, not have fucking had everybody to walk out, not have had a deal with the landlord, not a fucking thing. But the problem was, not one person was backing Stuart, mate.
Mm-hmm.
they're all basically fucking off and with Harry, and we would have spent that money and we wouldn't have got it back.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, you must see that, don't you?
Yeah.
I'm honest, even to this day, mate. Fuck, of course. Do you not think, like, as an arrogant dick, I wanted as a Rance walk to buy a life support? Do you not think I wanted that?
Yeah, I mean, it was a key chance to take a competitor out for good.
But it wasn't. That's what they were telling me. Ultimately, you'd have bought the competitor, and then they set up Man Radio the next day, and you got a new competitor. Because basically, the whole content of the fucking team, like the whole, hey, all the people, yeah, all mm-hmm. their abilities, were pissed off at the office and set up something the next day. And this country, and perhaps rightly, won't allow people not to be able to earn a living.
Mm-hmm. I think. Yeah, I mean, the problem, I think, looking back at the Live Squawk stuff as well, is Stuart had his argy-bargy with Harry. What was happening was criminal. It never got taken up as a criminal matter. And I think...
I also think this with Rambier, and you have raised it. Yeah, I think I have been weak doing that.
I think particularly...
But also, that's commercial, mate. Like, right, like now... Do you want to go and fucking start spending 20 grand a month on fucking pursuing Singh?
No, I think with the Live Squawk thing, if you actually add up the amount of money that got spent, it's a large sum of money. It's, what, 300 at least?
It's probably more than that, mate.
It's more than that now. And it's
terrible. But having said that, I actually think by doing it, mm-hmm. we actually protected our business.
I don't know, because I don't think Live Squawk are all that strong anyway. Never have been. Grand less. Pardon?
They're not now with 300 grand less, but also at the time, like, honestly, mate.
I think they're a weak business at the moment, yes. I think that the key thing is if it was framed in such a way that Stuart, instead of doing the civil injunction, went and did a private prosecution, it would have been a very different landscape. Harry would have gone down much
sooner. I think going with Kelly was a terrible fucking act, a terrible decision.
Mm-hmm. It should have been criminal from the outset, and I think I said back in the day, back in September, just before the injunction, are we going to repeat the same mistake that we made with Ranveer, that you can't then start a civil case and then try and go down and then in parallel go criminal because it looks like it's leveraging, because that was what was said to us.
But what I realise now, and I agree with Neil, and this would be like you mentioning on the third Monday and Thursday, what I've learned from all of this is, and it's the same with Singh now.
I mean, Singh is taking the piss at the moment.
Wants to fundamentally pay for Singh myself, by the way. Because at the end of the day, civil doesn't scare people.
Mm-hmm. No, I think Ranveer has lost from the civil a little bit, but now he knows the process, he's not scared of it, and now there's nothing else for him to lose.
Well, there is, because we still have the criminal. He doesn't know that.
No, but as far as he sees it, you know, if things stay civil, he'll play.
No, all civil things are done.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is it. I think Ranveer knows if it stays civil, it's easy for him to manipulate the situation to his advantage.
Mate, at the end of the day, right, he went behind our backs to Reuters and he fucked us, yes?
Mm-hmm.
He therefore... Whatever the law does, right, he did wrong. We had to drop that case because of fees, mate. That's the only reason.
Mm-hmm.
But what are we supposed to do? Bankrupt the company just to pursue principle?
No, I think this is the thing. Ranveer,
I don't think you understand how much I share your despise mm-hmm. to the outcome of the situation, and actually how much I think this civil fucking proceedings in this country suck to piss.
Yeah.
Because I fucking do.
Mm-hmm.
It's wrong, mate. I just put 25 grand in. Whatever comes out of the audit and everything else, still had to put 25 grand in last week to pay fucking Singh's fucking fees.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think that feels, mate, after what Singh's done to my family?
No, it's bitter. No,
it's fucking beyond bitter, mate.
Yeah, you know my stance on that.
No, well, what is your stance? What, we should go criminal?
Yeah, I just wonder whether it's
illegal. All right, stay on the current salary you're on. Don't ask for a bonus in the next year. And contribute your commitment to that cause, and I'll do the same.
I just feel if we did it earlier, we wouldn't have been paying the cost that we are. And I think
bullshit, mate. That's bullshit. Come on, buddy. It's not as simple as that. You must know that. Look all the legals we've been involved in. Look how much it's costing. Fucking lawyers. They're parasitical motherfuckers.
Yeah, but I've always said they're still with Ranveer as a criminal matter. Always.
But even the criminal matter, it costs us 50 grand for a fucking meeting. And if we proceed with it, so you want to proceed with the criminal matter? Let's ask the question. Let's not look back. Do you want to proceed with the criminal matter against Ranveer Singh?
In principle.
We have already paid, probably to get the summons done, bar, say, 10,000, okay?
Yeah.
We've been advised it'll cost 150. That means it costs 250 by the time we're done.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think as a business we're going to get out of that?
Probably not that much now, and I think this is why I say I'm...
Why now? Because I don't think it's any different. Because I actually think there is something you can get out of it, and that was Ranveer will shit his pants and say, I'll pay back the money from the civil and or give a flat or whatever.
Does he still have that as the argument, you know?
Of course he has it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. He'll fucking find it if he's about to pay 6 years in prison.
True.
No, but that's the reality, mate.
Yeah.
That is the fucking reality. If he's facing 6 years in prison, however far he drives it, whether it's the steps of the court, yeah, it comes down to one fucking thing. He will either decide to turn around at the last minute and say, please don't send me to prison. I will return all the fees for the second case regarding the breach of the settlement agreement and effectively the deception and fraudulent misrepresentation. And preserving the cause of justice. Yeah. That would be his first offer. And then maybe he'll say, and also compensate, not just for what you've given me, but for the fees you've incurred along the way. Therefore, I will offer you the flat in Brixton, which is worth £500,000 or £600,000. This is my offer. Or he will say, fuck you all, I'm going to prison. And it comes down to that. And I do not know what he will do.
Do you think he'll really admit to the flat, though? He'll try and offer everything else up, I think.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, mate. He's on the steps of the court. He's facing 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
He will offer. He then becomes a negotiation. So ask me if I was in that situation. So Mel threatened authorities recently, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you exactly what my response would be. I'll have this pack sitting next to me. So if they come and raid my house, they want everything.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in prison before for many days. I can survive going for an interview and all that shit. Yeah, I don't like it. It scares me. I'll be honest with you. But I'll do it. Oh, I definitely went back down on my principles because of it. Yeah. If it got to the point where they pressed charges and said, actually, no, we believe you've done right, something wrong, I would carry it all the way to the steps and then say I was in the same situation. Well, if it was in, I wouldn't have that option because if what Mel threatened was going to authorities, which wouldn't have been a private prosecution, so therefore you wouldn't have the option to say to the police, oh, I'll pay it back. They don't give a shit. It's only in private prosecution a settlement can be made, yeah?
Mm-hmm. No, understood.
Understand? You understand?
Yeah, I know. So
and when it got to the point where I was genuinely at risk, then I would just jump off the fucking building, basically.
Well, I don't know whether Ranveer's going to be like that, to be honest.
No, because he's not. Maybe he can do 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do 6 months, mate. I know that. I won't back down until I'm literally being told that that's where I'll end up. Because I don't think I've done anything wrong. You can all think that I've done something wrong, but I don't believe I have. And, you know, I have taken legal advice, obviously, on all of this, both from EMM and from Bailey and so on, and from authorities. And, you know, effectively most of it comes back and they'll be treated like a civil issue. But obviously, you know, and I'm sure in reading that response, and I'm sorry I had to state it, but if that did happen, I would bury every motherfucker I possibly could with me. But jumping off a building's been my way out of every problem I've had in my life since I was 19 years old, so it's not a new opportunity or a new consideration for myself. But I don't really want it, Jason. That's the truth. Of course I don't.
No, I don't think anyone wants to go down this route, to be honest.
They don't. And that's why I've done what I've done this week, and that's why I'm trying to do what I'm doing, and I am trying to do the right things and, you know, open up, you know, transparency. I'm trying to fucking work out a way forward. And these, so going back on backtracking and stuff, but that is where I am.
Yeah.
But of course, I'm going to protect myself. I am me. I'm not going to back down if people fucking come after me. It's just, I don't have it in me. And also, I have some weird kind of fucking brave heart, fucking want to stand up. If I'm not, don't stand up for the principles I believe in, then I may as well be dead already. Yeah. Mm-hmm. On the flip side, it'd be fucking awful. We've had this, you know, beginning of the conversation. It'd be an absolute tragedy. It'd be the worst of all of us. It would be incredibly sad. Business won't survive. Blah blah. And I know that, and therefore I have swallowed pride. And you know, I spoke to Brad, and I was like, you know, am I more proud about standing up for the differential I believe in, what I believe males are entitled to and shares, or am I more proud, am I a better person trying to save a business that can actually help
mm-hmm.
people's families, provide employment for people, help my family, help, you know, that's the bigger man, isn't it? Otherwise, I am just Snyder Rossi.
Yeah. No, I think...
And if you look at what I've done over the last couple of weeks, I think you already know that I'm trying to do that.
Yeah, and this almost comes back to the thing that, in a way, we've lost a bit of opportunity from this infighting, because I think Mehul, as you sort of implied earlier, could have actually filled a void that we had if we were
infighting. Okay, and I think, yes, we have. I think the infighting has cost us. I think me not being in London and no excuses is what it is, not being 100%. Has cost us.
Yeah, and I think if
we are not fucking dead,
mm-hmm.
you are still calling me tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We are still talking now in a good way.
Yeah.
I have tried to do good things. Mehul, I think, still can help.
Yeah.
So we still have a chance to not be the fucking worst of ourselves, all of us.
Agreed.
And to focus on doing something fucking good and doing something that makes us differentiated. Even by you picking up the phone tonight, mate, I'll give you an example. Mm-hmm. It's you different from seeing. And I said to Mehul in my text after the fucking email, I said, he said two things to me once. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two things that go around in my head. One is, I'm just going to tell the truth. My mom said it would always be okay. Well, I'll do the same. Yeah. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm not telling the truth, right? But mm-hmm. at all. So I'll do the same. Two, he said way back when, I don't know, I think probably sitting on a bench, probably in Blackheath or something. And he said, and we were talking about how bad things have got, and how rampant used to be his mate. And we were like, you know, thing is, he never had the humbleness to pick up the fucking phone or to reach out to you
mm-hmm.
to help, or to Matt or to George or to you or whoever. Yeah.
Yeah.
He never had the humbleness to do that. And probably could have saved both himself a lot of agony and also other people a lot of pain.
Yeah.
And that is the reason why I sent the email I did on Friday, because it's a bit, this is a bit moralistic and ethical, but I really believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, it takes more strength for me to fucking send that email and the following WhatsApp from Mehul to say, I'm reaching out. It's try and sort this out as decent people, not be singing Shredder. Mm-hmm. Then it does for me. It's, you know, I'm a better person, mate. And, you know, doing that. And that is what he, you know, we talked about, and I've said to Mel, like, you know, that's what Rambia never did. And I said, well, and I was basically saying, well, I'm not going to be him. I'm going to be better than him. And I will not fucking reply to your fucking email with go fuck yourself. Which part of me wants to. You know, like that stubborn kind of alpha male bullshit, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
But that's a weaker person, mate. That's what Rambia would do.
Mm-hmm.
So I did what I tried to do. And actually, Brad has spoken to Mahel and I spoke to Brad.
My hand
is very, very fucked up at the moment because it's cut to fuck. It was like, kick the shit out of every fucking frame in my room. Because Brad lied to me, as in about a week or 2 weeks ago, he was saying X. I was like, mate, what's going on here? Like, I could tell something was up about 2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I said, who have you been talking to? Like, something here weird here, but, and he didn't tell me. And then he told me more recently, he said, you know, I spoke to Mel. I'm like, no, that's cool, man. Hung up. Kicked the shit out of the fucking room I was in. And then he ran back, and I said, look, you know, I said, mate, I've got no issue with you talking to Mel. I've got no issue with you at all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have to tell him, man.
Yeah.
That's all I ask. But I can understand you speaking to him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was like, oh, I think he's got a good idea. I was like, yeah, I think he probably has got good ideas. I think he could definitely help us. You know?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I guess we'll see what happens in light of it, you know. You know.
Well, between you and me, I've done what I can.
Yeah.
And I hope we can sort it out. If we can't, we can't. Then we fight. I just feel like it's almost a mirror of 3 years ago. If we fight, then I will continue to fight. And, you know, last 3 years, if I'm honest, my life's been pretty shit. Told Rambo it'd be shit if I did fight him. Told him I wouldn't back down. The same situation now. But I hope I'm dealing with people that are better than that. And I've tried myself to be better than that. And I hope we can all come back to the table. And I hope that, you know, I can shake Metal's hand and can say, right, fuck it. We always said we'd be partners. Even if, like, I'll be honest with you, if he gets his fucking shares at the amount he wants, yeah, I don't agree with it. Okay? Mm-hmm. Particularly if he doesn't put the money in. Yeah? Mm-hmm. But.
But, go on.
Isn't the value of the company and the opportunity it provides you, me, everybody more important?
Yeah.
And that's really fucking hard for me to say. Like, it is hard for me to say that. Like, I'm almost choking on my words. Like, for me personally, in principle, I do not agree with the shareholding he's requesting. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But if it enables us to fucking try and save this company, and do you know what? I don't even think he is trying to fuck me over. I think he genuinely believes that's what's in the title to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think... Yeah.
I just wanted to meet him halfway. And the reason I really blame Adam Bose, by the way, is because I basically left it with Adam Bose to make you just come to some sort of compromise with Mel, yeah?
Yeah.
And ultimately what happened was he failed completely in that, and then suddenly Mel and I are completely at war, yeah? Mm-hmm. Without me even really fucking knowing how bad, realising until it's too late that it's got that bad.
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, I mean, whatever happens with Mehul, we'll see what happens. If there's one thing I learned from back in June is I'm not going to get involved in anyone else's fights for now. I think that's...
You are involved in it to a degree. Do you know why?
Well, yeah, I'm dragged into it, unfortunately, now.
Because you're too principal, mate, in the business, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Also, you said, I hope you can get a shareholding things, like in a message recently, you said, oh, I hope you can get a shareholding things. Well, I know what that means, right?
Yeah, well, look, as I said back in June, if the shareholdings aren't going to be resolved in one way or another, then it doesn't reflect well for people like me or Linton, because it just, if nothing is going to get changed and it stays as it is, or has been for the last few months, it just doesn't show any goodwill. As I said to Adam Vose on the phone the other day, earlier in the week, it's a case of, even if you don't give everyone their shares immediately, but at least start to dish out something or look to be doing the right thing, and there's clear steps that that's happening, okay, there might be a certain percentage of shares that are still in dispute between you and Mehul and Matt Chung, because it's all really off the back of Matt Chung's settlement agreement. Maybe those don't get divvied out to people.
Hasn't his settlement agreement disappeared due to the fact that somebody fraudulently signed the document?
I don't know what the position is with all of that.
Yeah, you do, mate.
I don't really, to be honest, because it was something between Ran and you know, Ran and him, effectively. It wasn't Jet.
Can you imagine how, like, so if the company was under threat and I spent how much on surveillance?
I don't know. A fair bit, though. I mean, we're talking about 80 grand.
I'm under threat and I know about something for a period of time before it happens.
Mm-hmm.
How much I have spent on surveillance.
Mm-hmm. Go on, say that again. Sorry.
Doesn't matter. Look, mate, it's pretty fucking clear. At the end of the day, we came on this journey. It was pretty clear my mum would always have a majority. I don't want to be a dictator. I want to work with people to fucking make it work. I can't. And if you want, that's not just because I don't want to be that, but also it's not going to work. Like, we're supposed to fucking work together, and I don't know how the fuck we've ended up where we are, and it's shit. Mm-hmm. And it is the worst of all of us. Yeah. All of us, not just me, all of us. So we have a chance to not be those fucking, those people, Schneider, Singh, whatever. And it takes humbleness. It takes swallowing shit on my side, swallowing shit on everybody's side. It takes you picking up the phone today. Like, honestly, I'm sure there's part of you is like, oh,
no, I agree.
And that is my view. And, you know, and we need to work together to fucking fix this and get it fucking sorted and fucking try and leverage the fucking opportunity that if we stop being cunts, we can actually fucking do.
Yeah.
And going back to what we were talking about going forward, I actually do, you can understand the irony here. I actually do think Mehul would, Mehul talked about us being partners.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, you know, in the beginning of all this, or meet and turn all this. And I actually think we can be, because I actually think now, if you want the honest truth, these conversations and, you know, talking to you about should we keep him, should we keep him, Mehul is less gay than me. Mm-hmm. Like, he will just go, no, they're shit, fuck them off.
And he's always straight talking. He won't, you know.
Do you know what? I actually think we need that. I actually, personally, I want it.
Mm-hmm.
But can you imagine what it's like to fucking, in this situation where somebody's threatened to fucking tell you to every authority under the sun to actually turn around and go, will you stop being a cunt, but I actually do need your help.
Mm-hmm.
That's effectively what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And talking to you, don't you think Mehul can help us?
Yeah, Mehul, ultimately, is the nearest thing we've got to Matt Chung, I think. And I think the company has always struggled in wake of Matt and Ranveer being kicked out, that we need a Matt Chung, and we've never really had that.
Do you think Mel's even willing to take on a role, though? Whether
it might not happen immediately.
No, but do you think it's got an appetite for it? Well, I think it's got to happen pretty fucking quick, mate, because we've got to fucking change. I'm not, you know, like, you know, well, however the accounts and shit turns out, you know, obviously no one wants to fucking be putting 20 or 30 grand a month into a fucking business. It's not ideal, is it?
No, I think, look, it's in his interest to, let's put it that way.
The other thing is, obviously, I do think a lot of the decline in revenue, if I'm honest, mate, is a lag from things that people said would happen when we moved to Heron, TPS stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You?
Yeah, possibly. But surely that would have happened a little earlier. It doesn't take...
Not a lot of people. I don't think it would. Like, people are fucking slow. Like, say, for example, you know, you're signed up to Sky, yes?
Mm-hmm.
And they just get shitter and shitter and shitter. Not going to cancel it month... You're not going to go, oh, wow, suddenly shit, month one. You'll get round to it month 12 or month 24. You might have a contract 12 mm-hmm. months anyway, so... And we've always said we've been surprised by how sticky clients have been over the time.
I think there was, yeah, there is that, because not loads.
I'm not hearing.
I'm not hearing we're
losing clients to live sport, by the way.
No. I'm hearing this.
We're just not as good as we were.
No, and this is what I was going to say, is if you look back at 2016, we lost clients to live sport back then, and that's not happening now. So there is an argument that there is a dynamic. I think there is a bit of a change in dynamic in the market, and I think.
Can I just pick you up on that? So, for example,
has not allowed us to change. That's
so definitely in the European market, we have compensated for a loss of institutional revenue by semi-pro people. Yeah. We've done that partly through the Jack Davis kind of setup, but also probably just our name is out there as a decent sport. Over 10, 12 years, yeah?
Yeah, and it's cost us, because it's cost us admin as well, because you're not getting a good margin, but you actually, your staff, your overheads are increasing, though.
But so it has destroyed the US revenue, because Brad doesn't have the advantage of incoming calls from the semi-pros,
yeah?
But also, because he hasn't gone out and developed partnerships, kickback relationships with people like Davis who run training companies.
Mm-hmm.
So partly it's his fault for being a lazy cunt. Yeah. And I've said this to him as well.
Yeah.
And partly it's because he hasn't had the opportunity to this one from, as I say, the incoming calls. But if we look at the dynamic across the board, the loss of institutional investors, I do believe, is down to TPS issues. Mm-hmm. And I think it's... I think we're all pretty aware that we haven't managed things and done everything perfectly, but I do think there is a major impact from that, mate. And if you listen to what Greg Ellis said, you didn't join that call, did you? But like,
no.
If you listen to what Greg Ellis said, it's so, I think I recorded it actually. If I can find it, I'll send it to you. It's so valuable in terms of him as being an ex-client telling us where the value is being lost.
Yeah.
And there's basically TPS issues, but there's also, I do think, you know, Linton is more robotic, less commentarial than Matt and Anthony used to be.
Yeah. No.
And I think that additional insight sort of stuff has had an impact as well, mate.
No, fair enough. Okay.
So basically, where are we? We're basically, let's see how Mel replies. I might send an email, Mel a personal email, follow up on what I've said, basically saying, look, you know, but we are going to be an issue. We are running too hot. Like, our cost, like, we need to change things, but our costs are too high. But then, you know, so if we're willing to cover that, or I'm willing to cover it, or the businesses for whatever period of time, fine, because it's like saying anything. It's like, I'm going to put a deposit down on the house, but I know over the next X number of years, it'll grow in capital.
Yeah.
So if we're willing to do it because we believe Greg Ellis, Stuart, Alex, blah, blah. But I have to say, if Mel's willing to, you know, shake hands and I hope be the man that I hope he is, and, you know, deep down, I kind of think he is. Otherwise, I wouldn't have reached out. But, then I need to know if he's willing to come in, because I do think there needs to be somebody. I think either he or I need to be in the office.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is he willing to do that role?
Well, I don't know, to be honest.
No, I don't know either.
Look, there's two sides of it. You're probably going to argue your point of, you know, Adam Vaux stepping up and him not. Then there's the other side of it. Oh,
what do you mean by that?
Well,
that's just fact. If you're talking about the board thing.
That's a board thing, but then
that's irrelevant, really, because it basically doesn't make any difference. He's basically just saying, can I have my shares? And if he gets his shares, then that's irrelevant, isn't it?
Yeah, look, I think it would be in Mehul's interest to do this, because it's in his investment, but as long as he's got his investment, you know, he will protect it, I think.
What do you mean?
That's the rational thing. I mean, if he's got his shares, then yes, he probably will do it to a certain degree. I think he'll propose something. You know, I'm just trying to look at it purely from the rational sort of perspective, because that's Mehul's mindset. It is purely rational. It isn't.
That's my mindset too, motherfucker. I made my decisions entirely on rationale, never on heart.
Nothing to do with your mood at the moment.
It's not my mood. My fucking principles. I wish my principles would fuck off at the moment. Anyway, well, so there we are. So we'll see what happens. But I hugely appreciate the call. You haven't saved. You managed to save, I think, about $4,000 out of 25. but that is the challenge, mate.
Fair enough.
And the thing is, like, because obviously we can say, okay, fine. Yeah, we'll carry it for a while. You know, it doesn't make any sense. If it's not generating return, we shouldn't be carrying it at all, should we? Like,
I see what you're saying. If it doesn't make commercial sense, then what are we doing?
Well, mate, you're not going to, like, going back to the house example, you're not going to put $20,000 deposit on a fucking house to buy it, yeah? If you believe it's going to go from 100 grand down to 50 grand in the next 3 years.
No, just you're going to wait on it, aren't you, and be on the sidelines.
Well, you'd invest in something else.
Yeah.
So, at the moment, our investment opportunities, I feel, are kind of like Stuart and Greg Ellers.
Yeah.
And then you're going to look at and say, well, do I want to pay this guy who manages the house for me, you know, and which is Aubrey, or is he overpriced and can I do it myself?
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are going to be the decisions. Anyway, let me get on. I've got to do these accounts.
Yeah, you've got to be frank with Orbs, whatever you're doing. Because like I say, you just can't stitch him up, and I feel...
Do I look like I have been willing to stitch him up?
No, I think he's...
You hesitated. That means yes.
I think there has been a lot of questioning over his position, and I think he's well aware of the situation.
But not by me, mate, by you as well.
No, look. If we make a decision on that, you've got to, as I've always said, when people are you let go or whatever, or if you're going to change a circumstance, you need to be proactive about it. What I'm worried about is we've got ourselves to a situation in the business where it's critical now, and you don't leave many options.
It's not as critical as you think, and maybe I'm more relaxed about it than you are, because I'm like, worst case scenario is I put money in, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But obviously I'm not going to put money in, regardless of, you know, whatever the account's transparency share, let's just say it's zero, I will personally put money in, yeah? Mm-hmm. If I believe it's a good investment, going back to the house thing. I'm not going to do it if I think it's shit. You wouldn't.
No, but I think, look, we you've questioned the Aubrey thing for about a year now, and I just think it's crazy that the question is still there. And this is.
I'll tell you why the question's still there. When you say to me to treat him decently, I'll tell you why the question's still there. Because I fucking like the man.
But I think if you.
I don't want to fuck him over.
No, but I think there should have been a conversation back a year ago where you say, well, actually, you know, there literally isn't going to be...
I agree. And that's why I think someone like Mehul telling me to shut the fuck up and not be driven by my heart, but to look at the business transaction, he would say, look, simple as this, offer Mehul, basically say to you, speaking decently, so he would say something like this. I don't know if this is what he would say, but perhaps he would say something like this. So I'm coming in, I'm willing to work for free or same salary as you, and we can agree that's £10 a month, nothing, or 9,000, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, we turn to Aubrey and say, look, results are down. So we want to do decent by you. So basically, we're going to basically say, can you continue as COO, but that salary will be the most tax-efficient salary that there is, which is like 45 grand or whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we will offer you a 30% IB, which should enable you to easily make up what you currently have and more. That's, I think, would be a very good piece of advice from Mel, and perhaps something that he would do.
Yeah, I think whatever you do, I think is although Aubrey costs a lot to the business,
Jason, but also stop putting it all on me, mate.
I feel so
fucking alone at times, mate, in these decisions. You know, and I don't have all the answers, mate.
The thing with Aubrey is, I think in a way we are better to keep him, but we need to make him, you know, sustainable, and that is
okay. So here you go. So fine. Okay, I agree.
Because there is a hidden cost to if Aubrey goes, it creates a really bad picture. We've always said that.
No, not if Mel comes in potentially, or Stuart comes in. But I agree with you to a degree. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what do we offer him?
I don't know, but I definitely think, look, whatever happens, you transition over time, and therefore, there is an ability for him to plan around it, and there is an ability for us to plan around it.
Put your fucking balls out there, make a proposal.
But I think the sales route is definitely, look, it's always gone down to the decision of do you have them on the desk or do you have them on sales? I actually think sales is better.
But arguably, like, you know, like, I was talking to Yogesh and he was like, he could absolutely do like a Danny Baker role.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing to stop him from being on the desk. I just think
sales. Why can't he split his day half and half?
I think sales is the more pressing issue because of the revenue situation, and he's got contacts in the city.
Okay, so I think that's good advice. So you could say to him, look, 5 hours a day on sales, 3 hours a day on ops.
And it's effectively what Matt Chung did.
But then Matt did the desk as well.
Yeah, well, Matt did work ridiculous hours and had a fairly good stakehold relative to that.
And therefore, that is, I agree with that point. So if Matt gives you 12 hours and do 4 on desk, 4 on ops, 4 on sales, mm-hmm. before he does 4 on ops, 4 on sales, mm-hmm. and not on desk, for example, yeah?
Yeah.
That's consolatory.
Yeah, yeah, because at the end of the day, Aubrey doesn't have skin in the game like Matt did, and therefore it's kind of reflected on that.
I mean, he should do, but obviously that's my fault because I've done the share stuff, mm-hmm. which is my fault, I'm not going to repeat what I've said.
Fair enough.
Not because I'm a bad person, it's just because there's only so many hours in a day and I haven't been 100%. That's the issue. As a mate, that is not mm-hmm. true.
Fair enough.
And also, nobody's actually fucking pitched up for me. Mm-hmm. You know, why haven't he gone out and found a fucking... I've already started fucking looking into online self-management share schemes, yeah? You know, like this. Look, like now with all these fucking startups and whatever, you can do it like PensionB. You can fucking there's basically online management stuff. We should be looking at EIS, MIS. There's research and development stuff that we can basically get grants from the government. You know, I've been looking at all these, but I just don't have the time to fucking implement them.
Mm-hmm.
Albeit, obviously, I am at home wanking off and pushing fucking repeats of Friends and stuff. Like you will think.
I think there is an argument that, yeah, some of that should have been communicated down to then be further investigated, and maybe that there is value actually in, I don't know whether you want to keep Ruth or not, but if you're going to have someone like Ruth, then...
The reason I don't think there's value in Ruth is because I genuinely believe that the things she does mm-hmm. can be covered by Aiden and Aubrey and by the use of an external fucking digital marketing guy for 7 grand a year. It's got nothing to do with whether I... Hey, if we were making loads of money, do you think I'd even be talking to you about Ruth?
Mm-hmm. No.
And you're going about money and blah, blah, but, you know, I took 75 grand when, you know, Ravi was on fucking 110. I fucking, you know, I know time passes, but, you know, why have we got Reuters? Me? Why have we fucking survived? Everyone goes, oh, well, you know, this, that, You wouldn't even fucking been here 2 years ago, mate, if it wasn't for me. And that's blowing my own trumpet, and it's making me sound like a dick, but that is honestly the fucking truth, and that is what makes me sad. It's all the shit that I have done, and all the shit that I still do, and work my nuts off fucking doing, it just seems to be fucking lost. Everything seems to be blamed at my door for fucking any failing whatsoever is my fault. It's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. And I caveat that with, there are things I've done wrong, and, you know, you are a very valid case in point. In my opinion, I should have prioritised your issue over, like, for example, Stuart and Alex. And why didn't I? I probably didn't, because I probably subconsciously just thought, he's a mate, I can sort that out in the future.
I think I'll tell you where my stance.
The only reason why you've got really angry is because it started to impact your life.
Yeah, and the other, not just things that are impacting my life sort of from a property point of view, etc. But the other thing is, now we're getting to a point where there's just been so much sort of damage in terms of goodwill within the business that I kind of think, well, I worked on the basis that, you know, the business would be carried forward off the back of people being aligned, and that goodwill would then therefore transpire into something material. And I feel that now that people are not aligned, and there have been so many disputes throughout the year, I feel that I can't keep putting up that goodwill, because I don't think it's going to materialise. And that's why I turn around now and sort of think, well, actually, I just should be paid as per.
I understand that. Rate.
And that's my perspective on it.
Okay. I think you are potentially right and potentially wrong.
No, I can see how you see it both ways.
You can find the best in all of this. I think you're right. Yeah. And because of the breakdown of goodwill or whatever, I think you should get your money anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I think enough time has passed and the situation is what it is, that it's unfair to expect you to work like I wouldn't do it if I was you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I would want it sorted. On the flip side, I don't think our romantic dreams and aspirations are dead yet.
Hopefully not. Yeah, no, look.
But it does come down, it comes down to you.
Yeah.
And me. And Nehal. And Linton.
Mm-hmm.
And Alec Bourne. It really comes down to those people.
Yeah.
It's up to us, mate, what we do. We've got, this is, I think this is our last chance.
Yeah, I definitely think it's the last chance now. I don't think we can go through another, as you say, another fight.
But regardless of work, mate, I promise you, I'm not a fucking bad person, mate, and I have never, ever tried to fucking take advantage or fuck you over, nor, you know, with Aubrey, for example, the reason I haven't already done that with the sales last year is because I find it fucking hard, mate, honestly, to tell people bad news, and it's particularly hard when I'm not fucking there.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be what it will be. I guess the next few weeks will tell X, Y, and Z. All I can tell you is that I hope, you know, my correspondence, my recent actions, I am trying to give us that last chance.
Fair enough. All right. Well, let's call it a night. It's been long enough.
And I think you believe that, otherwise you wouldn't have called me.
No, yeah, look, I think something has to be done one way or another. You know, look, my position.
There was one sentence in what you sent me amongst all the fucking criticism.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That gave me hope, by the way.
Pardon?
He said, if you want my continued support, do something, whatever. Mm-hmm. I assume we've done.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, mate, I want your fucking support. And to be honest with you, I fucking need it.
Fair enough. All right. Okay. No. Understood. Let's call it a night, in which case, and see what happens in the week.
Too long, mate.
All right. Take care. Cheerio, then. Bye-bye.